Chapter 11. It took another hour for everyone to get the fires under control, and despite the chaos and devastation the Elder Lord had caused in Edyria, only a small handful of women had died in the flames. Two had been burned at the stake, and another two died in a hut, but the women had already died by the time we'd extinguished the fire. The outcome could have been much worse, though, and at least the majority of the villagers survived. Akira and Nyx had great fun collecting the body parts of the men we'd slaughtered, and they threw them into the final dying fire before it was fully extinguished. Alexander went into great detail about how the familiars killed one of the men, and it included Ursula tightening herself around their victim every time he took a breath, while Trixie clawed out his eyes with her massive talons. Apparently, he'd screamed until he was red in the face, but that only made Ursula's job easier. Once I was certain everything was safe, my Coven and I headed over to the steel building I'd created for the survivors. I couldn't hear a single sound that came from the hut, so I could just imagine how terrified the villagers were as they huddled together behind the safety of the steel. "It's safe to come out now," I said as I knocked on the door. "The fires have been put out, and the men are no longer here." A minute went by without anyone from the inside making a move, so I tried again. I knocked my fist against the door, repeated the same words, and waited patiently.
"Is the door locked?"
Penelope asked. "Well, technically, I made sure only the villagers could enter, so we're stuck out here too."
"I'm sure they'll come out in a moment,"
Samara said with a small smile.
"This kingdom isn't used to acts of violence like this, so it's only right that they're skeptical."
A few more minutes went by in the same fashion, and I was about to produce another spell which would have unlocked the door for me. But then I heard the shuffling that came from the other side, and the door opened to reveal a scared woman, still with burn marks all over her tunic, but she'd cleaned the soot off her face. She stared at me for a long second, and then she opened the door fully. "Thank you," I said as I took a gentle step forward.
"I'm sorry,"
the woman mumbled as she looked at everyone in turn.
"The man tricked us before, so we couldn't risk showing ourselves until we were certain."
"You have no reason to apologize. But are we allowed to come in?"
"Yes, of course."
The woman took a step back to clear the entrance, and my group and I followed on behind her. Just as I had pictured it in my head, the building was far larger on the inside than it appeared on the outside. There was a bathroom, a bedroom, and a main communal room where everyone sat together on long leather couches. The scent of smoke was clear in the air, but everyone had taken advantage of the bathroom, and even the children were now clean.
"Thank you,"
a lady said as she stood from the couch.
"It's because of you that we're safe and alive. We would have lost everything this evening had you not arrived."
A second lady spoke up. A small girl was sleeping peacefully on her chest, and the woman stroked the girl's hair soothingly with one hand.
"Unfortunately, we couldn't save everyone,"
Freya sighed as she stepped forward.
"My sisters and I know what it's like to live in a small village, and we understand how devastating it is to lose someone. But the children are safe,"
the woman with the child replied.
"The women we lost this evening will forever be loved and cherished, but Edyria cannot survive without the children. If you don't mind me asking, what is the story behind the children?"
Marina asked, and the former siren cocked her head curiously.
"You say the kingdom cannot survive, but isn't there a chance more children will be born to replenish the village?"
I was just as interested to hear the story. Although I'd read about the cherished offspring, the books never went into detail about any of it, and sometimes it was difficult recalling all of my memories from before I occupied this vessel. One lady shuffled into the side of the couch and patted her hands onto the cushion for Marina to take a seat. The rest of us found comfort on another couch and on the floor, and the familiars found some spare corners to curl up and sleep in.
"The story travels back to the dawn of time. Since the first woman arrived in Edyria, a superior being has chosen various women to carry and birth the next generation. It only happens once every 25 years. And should anything happen to those offspring, then the women need to wait 25 years until more babies are born. And by then the women could be too old to safely make it through the pregnancy. It is a risk neither of us wish to take. And the children are always female. Always female.
The woman nodded.
No man has ever lived in Edyria, and that's the way it will always be.
I thought about how easy it would be if the women allowed men into the village, and more children could be born every year. But I understood it had been their way from the start, and nothing would change that. I was also interested in the superior being they spoke of. I knew it wasn't me, and if the man impregnated the women without physically lying with them, it meant he had to have been someone mighty. I knew my coven thought the same thing, because whenever the powerful man was mentioned, they all turned to look at me with subtle glances. It's not me. I voiced the words in my head.
Then who is it?
Samara asked the woman.
This superior being you speak of. Jazul.
Another woman replied.
He is the third of the five dark gods, and the entire village has worshipped him since we realized the power he holds. To us, Jazul is just as great and as mighty as the Dark Lord himself.
I peered over at Samara and noticed the grin she tried to smother with her hand. I couldn't help but wonder how the women would feel if they knew I sat before them. I mulled over Jazul's name briefly, and although the name seemed familiar to me, I couldn't place it. I wondered if he was a demon I used to know from hell, or if I'd come across him at another point in my existence, but I couldn't remember the full story. Vanessa chose to begin the conversation, and she adjusted her position on the floor as she began to talk.
Are you interested in knowing how we knew you were in trouble? How we managed to turn up just at the right second? Well, we assumed it was a stroke of luck.
A brunette woman shrugged her shoulders.
I suppose we were in a state of shock, so we never gave your arrival much thought. As soon as we knew you were on our side, the idea of your arrival slipped our minds.
The woman with the child said quietly.
But yes, now that you mention it, I'm intrigued to know the truth. Edyria is such a hidden kingdom that no one from the outside ever comes this way.
I had a premonition, I told the room. I knew the Elder Lord started these awful fires, and I felt the pain and heard the screams, almost like I was tied to a stake myself.
But how?
The brunette asked.
I've never known anyone to receive a premonition as strong as that.
That's because I'm different from others you may have come across before. I smirked. My powers are strong and mighty, and there is a very good reason for that. I knew it would have been difficult for the entire village to understand and believe my story, so the best way for me to convince them all was to give them visual evidence, like I'd done with Sigrid. I needed these women to know the truth, and the visions and memory reel felt like the only way to do that. I closed my eyes, cleared my mind, and whispered the incantation, "Video in cor de meo." The soft pink mist appeared, and it covered the entire room, almost like the smoke from the flames. I heard the scared whimpers that came from a few of the women around us, but once the visions began to play, everyone was silent. I showed them the same images I'd shown Sigrid, but this time I also included the moment that I received the premonition, and how the fires had impacted me mentally and physically. The room stayed silent as the visions came to an end, and the room cleared. I noticed the confused expressions on a few of the women's faces, but I noticed shock on others. "My name is Cole, and I am Satan Reborn," I said, loud enough for all to hear. "Today's events were a sign that the Elder Lord wishes to rain an apocalypse on all existence. But I will do everything in my power to defeat him and to save the world from his murderous hands." A few of the women stood from their seats and came over to embrace me, whereas others stayed where they were. I could tell they believed me, but it wasn't an easy thing to process, so it would take some time for them to fully let it sink in.
Cole can see a war on the horizon, and it is our job to make sure we have as many people on his side.
Vanessa said as she stood from the floor.
We realize how quiet and closed off Edyria is, but will you offer yourselves should the Dark Lord require your assistance with the army? I will.
A woman with light blue hair stood up.
So will I.
A second woman agreed.
And me.
A third said confidently. It took a few moments for the rest of the room to join in, but soon the majority of the room had agreed to join my army, should I need their help. The children were obviously too young to take part, and they needed women to stay behind and watch over them, but apart from that, everyone else had agreed. I appreciate your support, and I see no reason as to why we shall not win when it comes to facing the Elder Lord. Now, it has been a long night for everyone, and I feel it's only right we assist you in restoring our village back to normal.
You would do that, my lord.
The brunette from earlier stared at me with a look of shock.
But you have already done so much for us.
There is one thing you may not know about me, and that is how much I care about and protect my subjects. I said as I looked deep into her light hazel eyes. You have offered your help and assistance, and in turn it's only right I do the same for you. I cannot have you sleeping on the ground with nothing but the ruins beside you.
Thank you, Dark Lord.
A redhead bowed.
It is because of you and your group that we are safe, and it means so much that you have offered to help rebuild our village before you leave.
For the next several hours, with the help of my coven and the more powerful members of the village, we used the Instaurabo spell to repair and restore the many buildings that had been burned to the ground. The welcome sign was fixed, and everything, including the smallest piece of furniture, was returned to its original position. I was able to get a proper view of the sky once the smoke and fog lifted, and I noticed the moon was high, so it had to have been the middle of the night. The chosen mothers thanked us again before they took their children to bed, and my coven and I were so tired after battling the fires that it only made sense to sleep in the steel building for the night before we headed back to Scholomance in the morning. Get some good rest, I said to my group. I hope we'll have a few days to settle before the Elder Lord strikes again, but I cannot say that for certain. Then, with the click of my fingers, I transformed the room so it held enough beds for everyone, and I was in the middle of deciding who to sleep with when a knock came from the main door. I had a feeling it was one of the Aderia women, but they'd already thanked me and said goodnight, so I couldn't work out why someone had returned to the building.
I'll get it,
Vesta said as she stood from her bed, which was closest to the door. Vesta opened the door and had a short conversation with whomever was on the other side, but I was too far away to fully hear what they were saying.
Master, some of the women are here to see you,
Vesta said as she turned to look at me. Oh, bring them in, I motioned with my hand. Vesta stood to one side as she allowed the women in, and they each stood patiently against one wall with their heads bowed. The four women all had vastly different colored hair, but they were all fairly short with slim waists and broad shoulders. They'd changed out of their clothing into fresh tunics that varied in color from beige to dark brown, and all four of them wore a pair of black sandals on their feet, which tied around the ankles. Come here, I said. The entire room was silent as the Aderian women closed the distance between us. I didn't think anyone had any idea as to why they'd come by the building, but the slightly sly, coy expressions on the ladies' faces told me something major was on their minds, and I was eager to find out what it was.
My lord, we apologize for the intrusion, but we wish to discuss something with you,
the brunette said quietly. Go on, I said with a slight frown.
We have witnessed the power you hold, and we've seen how safe we'd be with you around us.
The woman hesitated as she looked to the floor and back up again.
We came here to ask if you'd allow us to join you. Aderia no longer feels safe, especially after the Elder Lord's attack, and you might not always be around to save us.
I see. And you wouldn't regret your decision to join us? Especially after everything said about the children.
We weren't picked to become mothers.
A lady with jet black hair spoke up.
By the time Jazel returns, we'll be too old, so we'll never be picked. Women leave Aderia all the time, and we'd never regret a move like this, especially when it's with you, my lord.
I never saw an issue with more women joining my coven and army, but as I thought about their plea, I noticed a look that the women shared. It was a look of sadness, but I couldn't tell if they were sad about possibly leaving, or if they were sad about never mothering children. "Is that what you wanted? For Jazzle to pick you to carry the babies?"
"It's what everyone here wants,"
a lady with blue hair said with a shrug.
"We aren't seen as strong because Jazzle never picked us. The mothers around here are treated like queens and we're shoved to the side."
The most obvious plan came to mind, and a smile ran across my face as I imagined it. "What if I gave you children?" I asked. Their shock was clear on their faces, but excitement quickly took over.
"You'd do that?"
the blue-haired beauty asked. "Of course," I nodded. "Everyone in my coven will bear my offspring at one point, as well as many other women in my army."
My lord,
the brunette murmured.
"I cannot think of anything we love more than that. Not only to watch our stomachs swell, but to know it's your child in there."
"Well, then, it's sorted," I smirked. "Tomorrow we shall return to Scholomance, but tonight you'll join my group, and I'll fuck all four of you until you scream my name loud enough for the rest of the village to be jealous of you." I heard the muffled giggles that came from some of my coven, and they all knew what was about to happen, but the four Edirian women had no idea. I led the innocent women into the spare room, and then, like I'd done with the main room, I clicked my fingers, and a wide, four-poster bed appeared in the center. A golden rug ran underneath the bed, and a small selection of candelabras were situated in all four corners of the room. A warm glow carried from the candles, and it created the perfect atmosphere for the evening. "Before we begin, I need all of you to tell me your names," I said as the women lined themselves up against the bed. "I'd much prefer to moan out your names as I take each and every one of you." My new women told me their names in turn, starting from the right. Della was the brunette with soft hazel eyes. Tally was the black-haired witch with orange eyes. Remy had red hair and green eyes, and Cleo, the quietest of the four, had pale blue hair and crystal blue eyes. I noticed the hunger and excitement that ran through every one of them, and my dick hardened at the sheer sight of their innocent expressions and their virgin bodies. "Now, I make the rules in this room. You must obey my every command, and you will be punished if you break any rules, or make up your own. Do you understand?"
"Yes, my lord,"
they each said in unison. "You will pleasure yourselves before I get to you, but if you orgasm before I say you can, you will be punished. Occasionally I will reward you, and that could mean you get to pick what position you're in or how you'd like me to fuck you, but unless I say so, you must go with whichever position I choose."
"Yes, my lord,"
they said again. "Great," I grinned. "Now strip off your clothing and show me what you have to offer me." The women didn't waste a second before they began to untie the backs of their tunics. I never took my eyes off of their incredible bodies as more skin came into view, and my mouth began to salivate as their tunics dropped to the floor. Like with their body types, the rest of the women were almost identical. They each had average-sized breasts that looked slightly more than a handful. Their waists had a gorgeous curve to them, and they each wore a pair of white panties, almost like every woman in the village received the same underwear. I had a feeling they were used to wearing tunics and other basic outfits, but I couldn't wait to see them in more form-fitting outfits. Once the women were bare, I ordered them to undress me. I knew they'd never touched a man before, and that was apparent in the way their hands shook as they undid the buttons of my shirt and pants. Two of them worked on my top half, and the other two worked on my pants, and I simply stood there and watched the entire thing. "Get on the bed. Spread your legs and play with your innocent pussies, and I'll get through you all one by one." Della laid on the far left side, Remy laid on the far right, and Tally and Cleo were in between. I would have made them suck my cock before I got started, but I wanted to teach them how to touch a man, and my schooling would come in time. Tonight, I'd teach them how to use their hands. Then I kneeled on the end of the bed, hooked my hands underneath Della's thighs, and widened her legs even more. "Do you want to play with my cock, Della?"
"Yes."
"Well, show me. Show me how much you want to touch me."
"Fuck, Cole. I need to feel your cock in my hands."
I got Della to sit up on the bed, and then I laid down in between her and Tally. My length stood at attention, and I noticed how Della's hazel eyes widened as she took in the size of me. "Don't worry. It'll fit." I grinned. I assisted her in grasping the base of my cock in her hand, and then I covered hers with my own hand to show her how hard and fast I wanted her to tug on my member. "Twist it slightly," I said as I let out a light groan. "And the more stamina you gain, the longer you'll cope."
"Does this feel good?"
Della asked. "Fuck, so good," I said through gritted teeth. "But I'm going to explode if you keep going, and I'd rather fill your womb with my seed instead of your hands."
"Of course, my lord."
She nodded. I briefly looked over at the three other witches as I stood from the bed, and I watched in delight as their fingers became lost between their legs. Tally's cheeks were blushed, Cleo's eyes had winced shut, and Remy's spare hand roamed across her stomach as her body twisted from the pleasure. Then I had Della laid in her original position as I prepared myself. "Lock your ankles behind my back," I ordered. Della did as she was told, and then I saw how she was itching to play with her pussy, but she kept her hands in two tight fists, like she had to stop herself from reaching between her legs. "This is going to hurt, but not for long. Relax your body and allow the satisfaction to take over." I teased her soaking pussy with the head of my cock, paused for a brief second, and then edged myself inside inch by inch until I broke her thin guard and took her virginity. Della was as delightfully tight as I had imagined, and it was like her velvety walls were about to squeeze the life out of me.
"Fuck!"
Della cried out as I filled her even more. "Relax your body." Della's breaths became deep and labored, and her hands were lost in her brown hair as the entirety of my length stretched her tunnel. Then I halted in that position as she adjusted to my size before I pulled out slightly and slammed in again.
"Yes, Cole. Fuck right there."
"Is this what you wanted? Did you want me to fuck you?"
"Yes, please."
Then, once I knew Della was ready for it, I picked up the speed and momentum, and I plowed into her pussy as hard as I could. The entire bed hit off the steel walls, and a sharp noise echoed throughout the building as the wood came in contact with the metal. But I also heard the sound of our skin slapping together, and that only caused me to move harder. Tally, Remy, and Cleo let out deep breaths as they continued to pleasure themselves, and I knew it didn't help having me fuck their friend right beside them. They were determined to have a go on my cock, but that would all come in good time. It didn't take long for the pressure to build in my body, and the urge to release became almost impossible to bear. But I continued to work on Della for a few more minutes.
"Please, please, my lord, I need to come."
"And you will soon." A trickle of sweat rolled down the center of Della's chest and pooled together just above her stomach, and I found myself staring at the glistening liquid. My own sweat formed and rolled down my body as the heat in the room grew stronger, and then the coil in my gut reached its breaking point. "Fuck! I'm coming!" I gave Della a second's warning before my cock exploded and filled her body with my heated cream, and at the same time, Della's walls spasmed and tensed around my cock as her juices covered me.
"Oh, fuck! Oh, Satan!"
Della panted as she got her breath back.
That was more than I ever thought it would be. Thank you for filling me with your seed, my lord. I can't wait to bear your child.
Oh, and we're only just getting started. I winked. Then I worked my way across the other three women as they patiently waited for their turns. They were just as tight as each other, and Cleo winced in pain as I stretched her walls with my cock, but it didn't take long for the Quiet Witch to overcome the discomfort. I took all four women in exactly the same position, only to make it easier for them. But I couldn't wait to watch them ride my cock or eat each other out as I fucked them from behind. I knew my coven would help school them, and it wouldn't be long before they were experts at it all. I thought my heart was going to pound out of my chest when I finally came inside Remy, and the muscles in my legs twitched and spasmed, but it was a pleasurable pain. One I'd deal with every day of my life, especially since these incredible women were my reward. Once I'd found the energy to move, I climbed onto the bed and made myself comfortable in the center, and the Adirian women came in beside me and nestled together under the bed covers. Cleo placed her head on my right shoulder, Tally placed her head on my left, and the wandering hands of Della and Remy stroked my stomach gently. It took no time at all for us to fall asleep, and despite the heat in the room and under the sheets, it was one of the most comfortable nights' sleep I'd experienced in a long time. The steel walls acted like an oven as they kept the high temperatures inside, but I wasn't one to complain, especially since I had these witches in my arms. I never once felt any of them move, and it pleased me to see how comfortable they all were. Then I woke up the next morning with an uneasy feeling in my chest. I had four incredibly beautiful women using me as a pillow, but the pressure in my chest was almost too much to cope with. I couldn't tell what had caused the feeling, and I didn't know what it was telling me, but there was one thing I knew for certain. I needed to return to Scholomance. And I needed to get there before anyone else could.